Amen. Praising the Lord for that being okay. It did give us a little something to gossip about that night, but we're praising the Lord. Everything's well, and good to see you back, Mr. Matt. Somebody else with a testimony, something they'd like to share with the church.
Bobby?
Yep. Made quite an impact. Anybody else with a testimony or something like that?
Yeah.
Amen. Lots of applications from Israel in our lives, and definitely there with ridding the land of enemies. Anybody else?
Something that was an encouragement yesterday, and I'm not going to quote this word for word, but something. Franz Dennis, reader, and said something like, I'm sorry, said, but I know he's in heaven. Know how I know, because he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his. You've done that. And it was an encouragement to me, because my concern for souls was paramount. So encouragement.
And testimony. Somebody else.
Go ahead.
Quite a testimony left behind. Anybody else with something you'd like to share? Yes, Steve? Amen. Good testimony. Good thoughts from Scripture. Somebody else with something they'd like to share this evening. In the back, is that Mr. Russell? Mr. Keith, sorry. Amen. Somebody else with a word of testimony or encouragement they want to share tonight?
Amen.
So many people that he touched. Any other testimonies? We don't want to cut it off if somebody still has something they want to share tonight. Anybody else behind me? Testimony. Let's go ahead and stand. Does anybody else have a more testimony? Miss Andrea, you can be the last one. Yeah, it was a great time and seeing different perspectives. God shows different people things from Scripture that I wouldn't have seen. So I'm sure we'll do another one in the future. If not before next year, I'm sure we'll do another one next early spring. So next time we have one of those, I encourage you to come out and be a part of those. And Bible book study nights are a great night. Let's go ahead and start the service this evening. I'm going to ask Mr. Brad Peters, would you open our service this evening in prayer? Amen. Go ahead and take your songbooks and we'll sing.
Hymn number 353, Love Found a Way. We'll sing just the first and the final stanzas of hymn number 353. remain standing for prayer. Brother Steve, would you pray over offering, please?
You pray if there's one here that does not have any standing.
Please be seated. Thank you. me, please. Turn to hymn number 100. Hymn number 100, Jesus is all the world to me. Again, we will sing just the first and the final stanzas of hymn number 100. Please be seated.
Take your Bibles now, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4. Go ahead and stand with me. When you found that, we'll read two verses. Proverbs 4, verses 26 and 27. You can follow along as I read those two verses. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 26 and 27 in preparation for the preaching. The Bible says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for what you've spoken to us already. Lord, I thank you for the music. Lord, we're able to sing to you. Lord, the message, even the music that we were able to hear and, Lord, be reminded of and challenged with. Lord, I thank you for meeting with us, Lord, already today. Lord, as we move into the last part of the service, the last service of the day, we pray that you'll still speak to us still. Lord, teach us something from your word. Lord, again, I pray that you'll help us to apply it to our lives and, Lord, know how we ought to change our lives to better please you, better live for you. Lord, we lift all these things to you. Pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
I do want you just to remind you to be in prayer for Miss Diana Wilbur and Mr. Harry Witham and Ms. Petra Merriman and our pastor and Jenny as they start their travels on Tuesday. And it's actually Monday our time, but late Tuesday night, I believe late Tuesday night is when they'll be in Dulles. And so be praying for them as they make their travels and that their transition back to U.S. time would be smooth. And so this message tonight, really, I had in mind to preach to the teens. And so it's really for our young marrieds on down, okay? But other adults, okay, and older adults, don't check out now, okay? Don't check out. You know, every time the Bible is preached or taught, there's something for every one of us. In fact, every time we come to church, every time we come to special meetings, we ought to have this prayer on our mind from Psalm 119 and verse 18. You probably know the verse. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And so we ought to come to it with that prayer in mind. Tonight I'm going to preach a message on the feet. All right, the feet. I told a couple of our younger juniors what I was going to preach on, and they were like, the feet. Well, God has wonderfully made us as human beings, right? He's wonderfully created us in His image. We know that from Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27, where God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Verse 27, He says, so God created man in His own image, and the image of God created He him. And I will say very loud and clear, male and female, He created He them. God uses the human body as a picture of the church and its members with spiritual gifts. We know that from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. For the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. God uses His wonderful creation to describe us as a church body. Also, we know that we can know God better by human characteristics. I'm not saying God is sinful. I'm saying the Bible uses human characteristics to describe God. In Psalm 34:15, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. We know the eyes of the Lord are in every place. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. In Isaiah 59:1, the Bible says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. And we could go on. Psalm 75 verse 8, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup. And He talks about leading the leaders of the earth and so forth. The Bible uses human characteristics to help us learn and know our God. But tonight we're going to take a look at one part of the body. The foot. Okay? The foot. All right? Stick with me, especially you younger ones. But all of us can learn from this. All of us. Okay? As with all parts of God's wonderful creation of the human body, the foot is an amazing thing. Did you know this about your feet? The gait pattern of your right foot does not usually match that of your left foot. Now, some of you are going to walk out of the church tonight going, so. You know, the soles of your feet contain more sweat glands and more nerve endings per square inch than any other part of your body.
Your 2 feet have 250,000 sweat glands that are capable of producing half a pint of sweat in a single day. All right, we can move on from there. All right? There are 26 bones in each foot. How many of you broken a foot? Okay. Yeah, there you go. One of 26 bones, as well as 33 joints, 19 muscles and tendons, and 107 ligaments. I mean, even just knowing that, you've got to praise the Lord for His wonderful design of our body. The skin on the soles of your feet is thicker than it is anywhere else on your body. This protection, of course, prevents many puncture wounds, but you should be wearing shoes outside. When you're walking normally, the whole foot is never flat on the ground. Well, maybe for somebody with feet problems, but each foot takes 1.5 times your body weight while you walk. When you run, it's 5 times your body weight, which is why I want to be merciful on my feet and don't run. Over the course of a day, your feet take a cumulative force of several hundred tons. Your feet are amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It's truly amazing how intricately and wonderfully God created your feet as well as the rest of your body. In Scripture, the foot is used to represent or illustrate many things. I'm just kind of painting a broad picture right now. The foot or the feet are used to represent or illustrate many things. Washing another's feet represents servanthood. Okay? To make bare the feet in public was to be in mourning. We find that out from Ezekiel. To kiss another's feet displayed adoration. We had the woman come and do that and anointed Jesus' feet and expressed adoration. To sit at one's feet symbolized learning. Okay? To fall at another's feet was a picture of humility and respect. To shake the dust off your feet illustrated condemnation. It's amazing how the Bible takes something as simple as a foot and uses it in so many ways. When we think of feet, for the most part, we think of movement. Okay? We think of movement. Feet enable us to move, walking or running. Okay? We also think of direction. Your feet are taking you in some direction, are they not? Your feet took you in from the Hillabus into church. They took you in a direction, right? And spiritually speaking, your direction is either towards God or away from God, right? And your feet are taking you there. Satan certainly wants you as a Christian to be moving away from God and away from God's will. But the Bible, and we're going to see this tonight, shows us some things. Not only do your feet help you to move, but did you know that feet also do this? Your feet can speak. Your feet can speak. Your feet can kill. Your feet can offend. Okay? And tonight we're going to see what the Scripture says about your feet. And how you can apply some of these things in your life. You know, we might be looking at something. Oh, it might bring a few smiles tonight, a little bit of humor. I didn't say that your feet can speak, can kill, can offend, and can smell. Okay? Verb or noun. But we're not going to do that tonight. But we can take something that's in Scripture, and down the road, we can remember these lessons. When we're about to step out and do something that we ought not do, you might just remember a crazy bald preacher saying something about your feet. Okay? And so that's why we're looking at this verse tonight, and I simply entitled this message right after the proverb that we read, "Ponder the path of thy feet." I want you to ask yourself, as we see some things from Scripture, where am I going with my feet? Where am I going? What about your feet? Well, number one, our feet can speak. Go to Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 12 and 13. Proverbs chapter 6, you're just a couple chapters away. Our feet can speak. these Bible verses say, Proverbs 6, verses 12 and 13, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. Okay, this verse is included because it's describing who it is. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. You've heard the saying, I know you've heard the saying, actions speak louder than words, right? These verses describe the wicked man's deeds. The expression translated naughty person literally means a man of Belial, or a person of Belial, a person controlled by Satan, or even it literally means a worthless person. And I know God places worth on every one of us, but my actions, my soul, I don't want to be considered a worthless person. The word translated wicked here means injurious, and is derived from a word meaning the breaking up of all that is good. So where your feet take you, or where your feet do, could break up all that's good in your life. The wicked do not just lie with their mouths. Their words don't just lie, but use many parts of their bodies, their eyes, their feet, their fingers, to carry out their deceit. This Bible verse says that these naughty people, this wicked man, speaketh with his feet. Now, here's a good example of speaking with your feet. Okay, remember Joseph in the Old Testament? You guys remember Joseph of the Old Testament, right? In Genesis chapter 39, you know, the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph because Joseph honored and obeyed God in his life. And Joseph found himself where his master's wife wanted to do wicked things with him. But the Bible says that Joseph hearkened not unto her. So Joseph didn't listen to her as she tried to entice him with her words. And when that wicked woman cornered Joseph to do these wicked things, the Bible says that Joseph fled and got him out. He spoke with his feet. And that's exactly what the Bible's talking about. He spoke with his feet. He spoke and he said, I'm not going to sin. He fled iniquity. He made a statement with his feet. Now, on the other side, there's a bad example. There's a bad example. You remember Judas Iscariot, right? Judas Iscariot. In Matthew 26, all the disciples were with Jesus at the Last Supper. And Jesus had confronted them about the truth that one of them was going to betray him. And the Bible says that all the disciples asked him, all of them said, Lord, is it I? Am I going to do that? Now, some said that sincerely, but you know, one of them didn't. That would have included Judas Iscariot. In Matthew 26:35, then a little bit later, all the disciples said, we'll die with you, Jesus. We will die with you. We'll die the same death with you. However, earlier in this chapter, in this same chapter, Judas Iscariot had already spoken with his feet. He had already gone to the chief priest and worked out a way to betray Jesus. His words to Jesus were feigned and deceitful words, and said one thing, and he said quite another thing with his feet. Do you see how your feet can speak? We could give many examples, but think about this. Every one of us needs to think about, what am I saying with my feet? What am I saying with my feet? Where you go with your feet? What does it say about you? What are you saying with your feet? So I ask you, especially the young people, but all of us, what are you saying with your feet? Because your feet can speak. Number two, your feet can kill. Your feet can kill. This is amazing. It's pretty amazing that our feet can speak, but even more amazing and scary that our feet can kill. Go to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. This is just a good reminder for us all to think about our lives and think about what we're doing in our lives. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 5. The Bible says, her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Now this here is talking about the strange woman. If you look at verses 3 and 4 before this, right here in the same chapter, for the lips of a strange woman, drop as in honeycomb. This is a woman, this is someone who wants to entice you to do evil. And it says her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. It gives this picture. She wants you to do wicked things. Okay, and then it says her feet go down to death. Her feet kill. We've heard much teaching and preaching and on the dangers of the strange woman, the dangers of being near her, the dangers of thinking on her, and so forth. It is a warning to all young men and all men and all Christians to stay away from her. And in the case of a lady, it's a warning, don't be that strange woman. Don't participate in that sin. For here, we see that her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. This is a description of an awful condition, an awful sin. And we're to be warned. We're to stay away. Another verse that shows your feet can kill is Proverbs chapter 1. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 16. The Bible says, "For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood." Their feet make haste to shed blood. Now, if in the verses before this, if this is talking about what the Bible says, well, look at verse 10. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." The word sinners here, it really is one of the mildest Hebrew words for sin. It's derived from a Hebrew word which means to miss the mark. We know that that's where the word sin really means, to miss the mark, to stumble, to fall. And it refers to coming short morally. The word refers to our thoughts, our words, our deeds. The sinner in the world says, "Come on, come, all right, come." They're enticing you. They beckon us down the broad road that leads to destruction. And verse 16 says, "Their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood." They extend the invitation to everyone for the ungodly folks like the fellowship in their chosen path. And they want you to be there. They do not beckon in vain. And we, all of us, have that strong bend towards sin and that bend to let sin and the world entice us. But here the warning is clear. Consent thou not. Okay? Consent thou not. Don't go with those whose feet are swift to shed blood. But, you say, "Well, I would never murder someone. Or I would never harm them so bad that they would bleed." But the picture here is a description of those unsaved people, the wicked people, full of wicked devices, as a tool of Satan, would love to lead you down the wrong path and destroy your life and destroy your testimony, destroy your future. That's what the Bible is saying when they say their feet can kill. Don't be enticed by them. You know, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says the same thing. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Their feet. Now, who is Paul talking about there? Well, in Romans chapter 3, it's talking about the unrighteous, the wicked, the folks that are not saved. It talks about them. You know, they're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Okay, their feet are swift to shed blood. This is a terrible description. And it's amazing to think that my feet and your feet are actually capable of doing this. This could have been you had you not gotten saved. This could be your life. It could have been me. I mean, you know, I didn't get saved till I was 26, so there was some wickedness in my life, and I don't think I murdered somebody, but my soul, I know that my feet are capable of that. I'm capable of that. although we cannot lose our salvation, we still have these feet. Our feet can kill, the Bible says so. Well, our feet can also, and we know this, our feet can move, okay? That's what God intended our feet to do. But they can be swift at that movement. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 says, "An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to in running to mischief." Feet that are swift in running to mischief. Now this verse is part of the seven abominations that God hates. "These six things doth the Lord hate," verse 16. "Yea, seven are abomination to Him. And one of them is feet that be swift to running to mischief." Okay, again, talking about the wicked persons. Our feet can be swift to running to things we ought not run to. Right, young people? And old people? In Jeremiah chapter 14, flip over to Jeremiah chapter 14. The Bible has got so much. The verses that we're talking about tonight are just a drop in the bucket of the many things God says about the feet. Now you can do a study on the hands or the eyes and all of that and draw something from it. And that's all we're doing tonight, is drawing something so that one day when we are tempted, or we're just out and about in the world, or we're at our workplace, or whatever we're doing, it might just be we think about our feet and what we ought to do with them and what we ought not to do with them. In Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins." They didn't refrain their feet. The Lord had given prophecies against Judah through the prophet Jeremiah here. Judah had sinned and rebelled wickedly. Notice God does not say, He doesn't say in that verse, "Thus saith the Lord unto my people." He said, "Unto this people." Because they had broken covenant with Him. They had withdrawn, or He had withdrawn from them. He says, they didn't refrain their feet, and Judah didn't show any disposition to coming back to the Lord at the time. They had loved to wander, and their backslidings had been their choice and their pleasure. And he says it, they didn't refrain their feet. They went where they wanted to without any regard to God and His law. They wandered. They moved away from God. Oh, that it would not describe you and me, that we wandered, that our feet helped us wander from God. You and I are susceptible to this. Do you wander from the Lord? Maybe in your thoughts and your motives, you're trusting in Him. Are you wandering? And in that wandering, you're not refraining your feet from evil. I could be talking about something physical you're going to, or figuratively, that you're wandering from the Lord. In Isaiah 59:7, again, there's another description just like that we read in Jeremiah, that their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed innocent blood. There it is again. This is through the prophet Isaiah. God is chastising severely His people for going astray and rebelling against Him. Their feet run to evil, God describes them. Well, if our feet are running to evil, we need to be turned around. We need to take stock of our own life and just use what God's given us in Scripture as this, either figuratively or literally. Are our feet running to places we ought not be, or running from something that we should be doing? It's usually, if our feet are running to evil, it's usually part of a whole lot more sin problems that need to be confessed and forsaken. The question you need to be asking yourself through all of this is, where are your feet going? Maybe it's somewhere you go that you ought not go. Maybe it's something that's just a little edgy. Maybe it's something or some place that might cause a brother to stumble. I don't know, but where are your feet going? Your feet can speak. Your feet can kill. Your feet can move, can be swift. Now, this is kind of similar, but your feet can be hasty. Your feet can be hasty. Go to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. It's an interesting study, just looking at the feet. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 2. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. I could stop right there. We could preach on that. Man, we need to be in church. We need to be under the preaching. We need to be under the teaching. We need to be reading good books. Reading is good, but we must move on. That the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. Hastiness will always get you in trouble. I know there's the emergency situations. Got that. But hastiness really here, as you see in this verse, implies that you haven't stopped to take the time to get the knowledge about something and you're just being hasty about it. This verse speaks of someone who will not take the time to get good, godly knowledge and will not ponder the path of their feet and heads quickly into trouble and sin. This speaks of someone who wants the easy, quick path, the quick path to achievement, accomplishment, position, and honor. These paths are not quick. They take time. They take setting goals. They take determination, steadfastness, fastness, diligence, patience, humility, submission, and a dedication to learning of God's ways. Your feet and my feet can be hasty. Our desires which lead to actions can be hasty or cause us to be hasty. And of course, Proverbs has a lot to teach us about hastiness. I think you're in Proverbs. Oh yeah, you're in Proverbs chapter 19. So why don't you slip over to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. Verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty only to want. Hastiness leads to trouble. Proverbs 14:29 says, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." Hastiness. Proverbs 29:20, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him." You know, our words, us, we can be hasty. Our feet can be hasty. Much more can be said about this, but we're talking about our feet tonight. We can be quick to move in a direction with our feet, and without knowledge, it's not good. It's not good. We need to get knowledge before we move in a direction. Now, considering all these verses we've looked at, ask yourself, do your feet take you to places you ought not be? Do your feet take you to places that would cause a brother to stumble? Do your feet take you to places that honor God? Do your feet take you to church every time we meet to worship? And I know most of you young people, you're brought to church by mom and dad. And you ought to thank them tonight. Thank you, mom and dad, for taking me to church. But one day, young people, you're going to have a choice. You're going to have a choice. Maybe you move out of the house, or, you know, I don't know. Maybe you get married, you're a young couple, and you got a choice now. Where are your feet taking you? Where are you feet taking you? Do your feet take you to the family in need? Do your feet take you to the widow who needs some encouragement? Do your feet take you to the ministry that your pastor needs help with? I thank the feet, all the little feet yesterday that helped us clean up. I simply ask this, where are your feet taking you? It might be a simple thing that we're looking at tonight, but really great spiritual truths that we need to consider in our own lives. So, our feet, they can speak, they can kill, they can offend, they can move in that direction, they can be hasty. So, I ask you the question, young people, old people, what do I do then? Okay, what do I do? What instruction does the Word of God have for my feet? How do I avoid these pitfalls, these sins that the Bible so clearly describes? Well, there are some things that the Bible gives to us about our feet. Number one, use your feet to get away. Now, remember the example of Joseph? Okay? I mean, that's a great example. Man, run. Get away. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 8, we were there earlier. I think we were there. We were in 5:5. So go to Proverbs chapter 5, okay? Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 8. Bible says, "Remove thy way far from her." Who's her? The strange woman. "Remove thy way." How are you going to do that? "With your feet. And come not nigh the door of her house." Of course, this is speaking about a strange woman. Much can be said, but put very simply, get away from her. Get away from temptations. Get away from the danger zones that you know will tempt you and lead you into sin. Remember this morning, well, you young people were down in Children's Church. We thank you for our Children's Church workers. But we talked, for everybody that was up here, we talked about the way of escape. This is one of the ways of escape. God's given you 2 feet. Run. Get away. Stay away from the things, the people, and situations that cause you to be tempted. Remove your feet. Since your feet are connected to you, if I see your feet walking down the aisle without you, I'm going to worry. Then you get away from that situation. Get away from that person. Yes, even if it's a person. From that thing that tempts you. If you need help in doing so, get help. Get help from your parents. Get help from a godly friend. Get help. You have pastors. You have pastors' wives that can help you. But remove thy way far from the temptation. Use your feet to get away. Use your feet to get away. Then also, use your feet to stay away from the wrong path. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Use your feet to stay away from the wrong path. The Bible says, "My son," and of course, Solomon is writing to his son, but this applies to our daughters, right? And everybody. "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." Who is the them? Well, it's the sinners. It's the enticers. It's the worldly, the wicked people that would want to draw you away from the Lord. That would want to draw you away from the things that you have learned right here in church. The things that mom and dad are teaching you. The things that your godly Sunday school teachers are teaching you and you heard taught in here and preached. These are the enticers that would want you to fall into sin. These are the wicked folks that would love to see you destroy your testimony and then blast it all over social media and talk about how your God and you are a fake. Don't walk in the way with them. Don't be near them. Refrain your feet from their path, from their way. Walk not in thou in the way with them. You don't want to do what they do. You don't want to be on their path. I'm not saying we are better than them, for we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God has given us instruction. And God has certainly given us, as we learned this morning, if we're saved, a way of escape. This is another way of escape. You don't even want to be around them. The Bible wonderfully exhorts us. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, the Bible says, verse 7, the Bible says, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge." Go from him. Take your feet and go. In Proverbs 28, verse 7, the Bible says, "Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father." Okay, get your feet and get away from riotous men. That's what the Bible is saying. In Psalm 119, 101, okay, I want you to turn there. Psalm 119. These are great verses. I love looking at what the Scripture says. Because in the Scripture are the words of life. Psalm 119, 101 says, I have refrained my feet. In Jeremiah. God says they did not refrain their feet. Here it says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. Hey, there's a goal for every one of us. There's a goal for every one of us, young people, and every one of them old people, right? I have refrained my feet from every evil way. Also, so use your feet to stay off of the path of the wicked, but use your feet to walk with wise men, godly people. You did that tonight. You walked into church. I'm not saying I'm so wise. I'm saying you got around wise men and women tonight. Okay? Younger people, you ought to take note of that. Proverbs chapter 13. Go to Proverbs chapter 13. Great verses. We're almost finished here. Proverbs chapter 13. Verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Who wants to walk with wise people? Yep, who wants to walk with fools? I don't. And the Bible is very clear. We need to use our feet, and this is literally and figuratively, to walk with wise men, to walk with wise people. You've heard it said and heard it taught that you will become who you hang out with, right? That's what this is. Find some wise men. Find some wise ladies here in church to be around, to talk to learn from. Ask us about good preachers to listen to and good authors to read. Get involved in ministries in order to rub shoulders with those wise folks. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Use your feet to get away from sin. Use your feet to stay away from the wrong path. Use your feet to walk with wise men, godly people. Now, I won't develop this point too much, but Mark chapter 9 and verse 45, Jesus is speaking and He says this, and if thy foot offend thee, what's the next words? Cut it off. Now, are we going to literally cut our foot off? Well, Jesus is using a literary device here known as a hyperbole. Truman and I just got done studying hyperbolas. This is a hyperbole. It's an exaggeration, but it's a point. If my foot offends thee, cut it off. He's saying take the radical steps. We just saw some things in Scripture. It says get away from sin. Take the radical step. It says stay on the right... Use your feet to stay off of the path of the wicked. Take the radical steps. If your feet offend you, cut them off. Cut off the sin. Do what you have to do to get your feet going in the right direction and in the right place. The Bible also says in relation to this, and make straight paths for your feet. Okay? I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 13 says, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Make straight paths for your feet. That's what we're talking about. Get on the right path. Well, what's it mean? Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 25, I believe. Let me get to my page here. That is the precursor to our text tonight, okay? Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Straight on. Look, you've been taught things here in church. You're being taught things in children's church and in teen group. And you're being taught things in here. And the right things, the straight paths. Don't walk off. Don't be looking off to the right or left. What do they do with horses and put the blinders on so they see straight ahead? What it's saying here is use your feet to stay on the right path. Okay, stay on the right path. And finally, you know, there is one more thing that we can do. Of course, we need to stay faithful to the Word of God to be learning these things. But one thing about our feet is we need to dress them properly. You need to dress your feet properly. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, right? You know what this is. When we're doing the right things with our feet, that's a good thing. We're not veering off the path. We're running from evil. But one more thing is going to help us stay on the right path with our feet. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're told in Ephesians 6:11 to put on the whole armor of God. And part of that armor is the gospel of peace, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And our feet are to be shod with that gospel. Now, why do you suppose it is the feet which needs to be shod with the preparation of the gospel? I believe I've heard this preached here before. Why do you suppose that that's true? Because we need to go. We need to speak with our feet. Where I started. We need to speak with our feet. Because we're commanded to get the gospel to all nations and to all people nearby and far away. I understand there's modern ways to get the gospel around the globe, like the internet, and we're trying to get a radio station here. We praise God for that. But that is only supplemental to the main way. The way we are commanded to get the gospel out with our feet being shed with the proper preparation of the gospel of peace by going. We need to be ready to share Christ. How can we be ready to share the gospel? To have our feet shod or shoed, outfitted with the gospel of peace? If our feet are doing things like being hasty, being ready to shed innocent blood, speaking deceit by where they are going, we can't. Our feet need to be shod with the gospel, doing the right things. You know, the Bible talks about us walking in the Spirit, right? We're going to walk in the Spirit with our feet. Okay, and that's a little bit figuratively, but we're to walk in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit by learning and growing in the Word of God, by being under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, by obeying the Word of God. Well, we've seen some things about our feet tonight. And I hope it's been a reminder and maybe a challenge to some of you young people, some of you middle younger people, about your feet. Your feet can move. They can be swift. They can speak. I'm still amazed that our feet can kill. Our feet can offend. And our feet can be hasty. But we can use our feet to get away from sin. We can use our feet to stay away from the wrong path. We can use our feet to walk with wise men and wise women, godly people. And sometimes we need to take the radical steps to stay away from sin. We need to use our feet to make our paths straight and stay in and be faithful to the Word of God. And we can use our feet to be ready to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me tonight? Really kind of a simple message. But yet, the Bible has much, much, much to say about how we employ our feet as part of our body, which He's given to us. As He's blessed, He created us. What are we doing? What are we doing with our feet? I'm wondering tonight, would you ask yourself that question? Would you be honest with yourself and with God? Maybe something tonight just resonated with you. Or something, there's a direction that, you know, is not quite right. Somewhere maybe my feet are literally going. It isn't quite where I should be going. Or maybe it would be somewhere where it would make a brother stumble. Maybe I haven't been walking with the right people. And I really need to be walking with wise men or wise women. I need to be walking with godly people. Maybe in my mind I've been walking to the wrong places. I've been wandering. My feet haven't been doing what they've what God wants them to do. Maybe I just need to get back and shod them with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I haven't witnessed to somebody lately. I haven't, you know, even young people, you can give somebody a Bible tract with the gospel in it. I don't know what the Lord has laid on your heart, but I would ask you, would you take care of that tonight with the Lord? Would you just come before the Lord and either get things right or make a commitment to the Lord that you are going to direct your feet in a way that He would want with you? Would you stand with me if you would, with the heads bowed and eyes closed, as the piano softly plays? If you need to use an altar, I ask you to come. I ask you to use your feet. Speak with your feet. Just seek the Lord about the actions of your feet. Say, Lord, I want to be pleasing to You, not just with my feet, but with my whole body that You've created, my whole heart, my life. And Lord, my feet, let my feet be something that honors You. And your songbook, hymn number 611, Take My Life and Let It Be. Again, we sing these songs and they should be prayers. Take my life, let it be. Sing on the first verse. Appreciate your attention to a lighter message, but yet one that God has in His Word. And so I pray that you would just meditate on those things. Do be praying for Pastor and Jenny as they start their travels on Tuesday. We will be in the office this week if you have a need. Pastor Jared and myself are available, so just reach out to us. There are things here in the bulletin. Ambassadors on Tuesday. Ambassadors, if you're going to partake in that, please see JB on that. Stewards, what we will do for stewards is we will let you know. Miss Hilda will dutifully call all the stewards on Tuesday to let you know if there's a meeting. I just don't know based on pastor and jet lag and all of that. But Thursday is ladies' Bible study. And gentlemen, I would count on life and leadership for those that are a part of that on Thursday evening. Don't forget to pick up a friends and family feast flyer. On the other side is the revival services. Those are coming quickly. And so we need to be inviting folks to be out to those meetings. I do know that on that day, Dr. Starr will be preaching the gospel. And that's what we need to be about, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, you can pick up these Easter door hangers. Take a few of those. There's just a few of those. And invite folks. You can hang those on doors. You can hang those on any doors. And please check your printed announcements. I won't go over those, but they are there for your reading pleasure. All right. Been a good day in the house of the Lord, hasn't it? Any other last-minute announcements before we're dismissed? All right. Dustin, would you please dismiss us in prayer?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,